too. Let's just talk a little Halloween here for a second. I just want to kind of break things up before we have Brian Anderson come on. And he'll be on at noon, as he is every Friday. And Tim May, we'll talk to him at 1 o'clock about the Buckeyes. I don't know what's wrong with me today. I'm a little bit off.
It happens to the best of us.
I don't know.
You get those days every so often.
I got all fired up about the dome in the beginning of the show.
You did. You did. All right. Have you bought your candy yet for Halloween? Has your wife bought candy yet for Halloween?
So I'm going to be honest with you, and I find this happening year after year, that when we buy the candy too early, it never makes it down.
It disappears.
Never makes it. And then by the time you get to Halloween, the candy that you bought in the beginning is candy you would never want anyway. You wouldn't want it anymore because you ate so much of it before, you don't want it. So I am on a kind of a weird kick, and I don't know why, but like I love vanilla Tootsie Rolls. They're like my favorite.
What?
I love vanilla Tootsie Rolls.
Oh my, those were the ones I gave away.
Oh, I love them.
Oh,
I don't know why, but
where were you when I was a kid?
I don't know. I went out to that giant candy store a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I was in there with my daughter. I love going in there, man. You know why I love going in there? Because
find everything.
Well, they have a lot of candy from when I was a kid that you never see anymore. And so I'll walk through that. I'm like, oh man, I haven't seen that in forever. And just I love going out there. But anyway, we've done some, you know, stuff outside the house, a little bit of Halloween stuff. I don't know, more fall stuff. And I had a friend, this was such a great deal. When the kids were real little, I don't know how they did it, but he had friends that would do these oversized pumpkins, like gigantic pumpkins. And when the kids were little, they would come home from school and there would always be a giant pumpkin in our front yard.
Oh, wow.
And we told them that the great pumpkin fairy was bringing pumpkins. And it was like... The kids would light, their faces would light up.
That's
I mean, obviously I knew who it was, but they would just light up every year when they would see
these
pumpkins.
That's a cool
idea. Oh, it was just, what a great idea. Just, and so cool, like kind of a cool thing to do for your neighbors. But I'm telling you, these pumpkins were not little pumpkins. They were big.
Big old monster big ones. Yeah,
like I had to do a lot of work to get rid of them at the end of the year. But that was okay. It was worth it. It was totally worth it just to see the kids. And then I would call them and go like, and they would be like, oh, that's awesome. They loved the fact that it was such a really cool thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is typically the weekend we'll have the niece and nephew over to the estate, and we usually try to do it outside and let them go carve the pumpkins outside just to minimize the train wreck mess that takes place inside the house.
Okay.
So like I'm thinking this year, because last year I got duped, okay? And every parent, uncle, aunt that's out there understands what I'm talking about when I say duped. And by that, I mean the kid came over and they went, oh, I want to carve the pumpkin. And then they kind of helped design it. And then they ran away and you couldn't find them. So then you're sitting
For cleanup?
Well, for cleanup, but for the actual carving process itself. Where they're like, look, it's my pumpkin. And in reality, everybody else had caught it. Now, the niece and nephew, they're 7 and 8 now. 8 and 7. Yeah. And so they're at that age where it's like still acceptable to start pulling that stuff of like, oh yeah, I want to design the pumpkin and then not actually carve it.
Oh, that never ends though. That never ends.
So what do I do to A, stop the duping, because I am horrific at pumpkin carving. It is arts and crafts is my biggest flaw. If I had to pick one, I am horrible at arts and crafts. And is my biggest flaw, and the self-loathing comes with how bad I am at arts and crafts.
Right.
And so I don't want to have a bad afternoon followed by a bad Halloween of having to look at this thing and go, oh my God, did they let a third grader carve that thing? No, the 36-year-old man carved that one.
Yeah, I'm bad at that too. I know one year my wife and I went to a ceramic shop for our anniversary. We were looking for something fun to do, and we went to this really, really cool ceramics place on the east side, and we'd made mugs, and my wife's mug is like perfect, one that you would find at the store and you could buy it, and mine, I'm gonna take a picture of it. I'll put it out next week. It is so bad. It's as bad as, and if you ever get a chance, Saturday Night Live did a skit with Eddie Murphy last time he was on, and they did this, I don't know, it keeps coming up, this thing, but where the cakes that they made during this holiday cook-off,
right,
his cake was possessed. And like it set on fire. It was one of the worst cakes you've ever seen on Earth. That is what my mug looked like when it was all said and done. So I'm not there for arts and crafts either, just so you know that. But I will say this. Like, to me, when you look at these pumpkins and you see people are doing pumpkin carving, to me, like, traditional a couple triangles for eyes, triangle for nose, and then, you know, you do the triangle thing for teeth.
Your best chance at scary looking teeth. Right?
Yeah, like that's me, man. That's what I do. I get my Sharpie out. I draw a couple triangles on there. You get the little like saw that you get with the kit. Now, like a few years back, and especially when the kids were little, my wife is just spectacular at this stuff. She's great at it. She's outstanding.
Yeah, opposites attract.
And I am like the worst ever.
The lady friend's the same way. She's like arts and crafts and can make all this stuff look awesome. And I'm like, look, I got a circle that's kind of circular.
But I know where the button is on the garbage disposal and know how to reset it. So that's my claim to fame. But so, you know, to me, that's what a pumpkin should be. Get in there and do that. So like I was watching on Instagram the other day, some family, you know, like I get fascinated by watching some of these reels where, you know, they take you through the whole thing, like, oh, I did this, I did that. But I think if you need a drill or an electric saw to make a pumpkin, that's out of bounds, man. That takes all the fun out of it.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. Like the thing with
I'm watching somebody
carving.
Take a drill and they're like drilling holes into this pumpkin. I'm like, what? This is not real. You're cheating a little bit.
This is supposed to knock you down a few notches. This isn't supposed to be like, now all of a sudden, here is my Mona Lisa on the side of a pumpkin. Like, we're not doing this. You're 100% right. If you're doing that whole thing where you're shaving stuff and you've got the Dremel and all of that kind of stuff to get a pumpkin out, it's like, what are we doing here? This should require power tools. You're supposed to use either the kit that you get at the store or the big old kitchen knife, depending on how lazy and dangerous you want to live life. And just go to town and hope for the best. I'm with you on this. Like, unless we're doing one of these, like, TV shows where they're judging pumpkins and people are talking into the camera, which just makes me want to barf. Like, there's no point with this. There's absolutely no point with this whatsoever. I'm with you.
Okay, let me take this to the next level then, okay? Neighbors who do the blow-up things on their front lawn.
Okay.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. I have neighbors that did it. And I know they have a little kid over there, and they've got like all the classic Charlie Brown characters, Peanuts. I think it's awesome. I love it. I mean, I think it's really cool.
I'm cool with it. It's not for me, but it's one of those, if it brings you joy, I'm thrilled for you.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
That's how I am. Yeah. It's not my kind of thing, but I'm glad it makes you happy, and therefore go be happy.
Yeah, I'm not, I don't know, the over-the-top graveyard stuff, it's like,
That's where I am with
all
holidays.
I'm the same way with all holidays. Like
all Halloween decorations are the same way. It's like, man, if that brings you happiness, then go do it. Look, again, we told the story a couple weeks ago. I now have no room to say anything, Andy. I have a 5-foot penguin that's going to be in front of my house.
What?
I have no room to say anything. Oh, yeah, we told that story before where I had to go to the giant box store.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. Like, my perspective on all this stuff has changed because Christmas is going to come and I'm going to have this monstrosity in my front yard. And so it's like, forget it. I can't judge anybody because I'm the worst offender of all of it.
All right, pumpkin seeds, good or bad?
Roasted, love them.
Love them. Same love thing, them. Man. Yeah. Totally into it. Yes.
Yeah.
Little salt on there. Good to go. I could eat them all day.
I'm the only one in my house that'll eat them, so we don't end up doing a bunch of them. So
the store-bought ones are a little tough because they're super salty.
Yes. They're too salty.
I do like those, though.
So speaking of store-bought.
Yeah.
A store-bought thing has found its way into NFL locker rooms like you wouldn't believe. This is a piece that came out of The Athletic that absolutely blew me away. They did one a couple years ago where they talked about how the NFL has a rule where teams are required to provide 3 dozen orange slices at halftime. And that is still the case, that inside of NFL locker rooms at halftime, there are 3 dozen orange slices there for everybody.
But as long as they don't have powdered donuts, that's good.
But the other thing that is starting to take off are Uncrustables. For those of you who don't know, they are made by Smucker's. And they're those circular, you can get them in the frozen food section. They're those circular peanut butter and jelly sandwiches without crusts on them.
Can I just tell you what my dad said the first time I ever saw those?
Do tell.
He looked at me and he said, are people so lazy that they can't make their own peanut butter and jelly? Have we hit that point that people are so lazy they can't make their own peanut butter and jelly? And then you got to cut off the crust.
Well, apparently that's the case in the NFL. Because they went over this to all of the teams, and this is according to The Athletic. Based on the information they've collected, it is safe to say that NFL teams go through anywhere between 3,600 to 4,300 Uncrustables a week.
NFL teams, now is this in the CBA?
No, this isn't in the CBA. This has just become the new preferred snack that NFL players are having, including saying, and this is according to The Athletic, that NFL teams go through at least 80,000 Uncrustables a year. 80,000 Uncrustables a year. The Cleveland Browns, per week, from what they have here, from the data that they've collected in this piece, eat 120 Uncrustables a week.
Wait, each player?
No. As a collective unit.
So you're saying they eat 120 a week. That's
correct.
All? That doesn't seem that crazy.
Doesn't seem that crazy. The Denver Broncos are at 700 a week that they eat.
That's the peanut butter, right?
Of the Uncrustables. Oh,
is it the protein you want from the peanut butter?
And the sugar as well to kind of help give you a little bit of energy on top of it. But yeah, of all the things that these players are choosing, and the fact that we've got dietitians and we know more about the human body than we ever have, the go-to snack for NFL players... it's become a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Well, what's the go-to after the game refresher? You know what they'll tell you? At least
Colbert,
I know,
and a cigarette?
No, the state of Ohio is into this too.
Colbert and a cigarette?
Chocolate,
Colbert and a joint?
Chocolate milk.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, runners. Marathon runners. At the tail end of marathons, they hand them that.
Chocolate milk. See, some of the things you ate when you were a kid are still good for you.
Heck yeah.
Especially if you're an athlete, which means I probably shouldn't.
So there you go. Rolling into the lunch hour, get yourself a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and a glass of chocolate milk, and you'll be like an NFL player.
It's not bad.
Worst ways to live life.
That's true. No, the chocolate milk things. But, you know, the sports teams that I've been around for like the last 10 years always have that around, always have Uncrustables around. In fact, like, there's a lot of sign-up sheets that I've seen over the last 10, 15 years that one of the things that they ask parents to bring are boxes of Uncrustables. Same thing. So I'm not surprised by any of that. Part of that is, track
all
meets
all
too.
Over track meets. Yeah,
that's a good point. All right. I'm glad we could fulfill your time and let you know what people are eating. When we come back, Brian Anderson, Rays color commentator, Pride in Northeast Ohio. We'll talk Guardians with him. We're also going to talk Nebraska, his football team, as they get set to take on Ohio State. And, of course, we'll talk about the World Series with him. Brian Anderson coming up next. Tim May at 1 o'clock.